News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The Uttar Pradesh government on Tuesday approved the draft of a stringent law to deal with religious conversion for the sake of marriage, which BJP leaders refer to as love jihad. An official spokesperson said the approval for the ordinance was given at a meeting of the state cabinet chaired by Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath in Lucknow. The UP cabinet has decided to introduce an ordinance against unlawful religious conversions, said State Cabinet Minister Siddharth Nath Singh. The way in which religious conversions are done using deceit, lies, force and dishonesty is heart-wrenching, and it was necessary to have a law in this regard, he said. Singh said punishment under the new law is a jail term from 1 to 5 years and a fine of ₹15,000. But if the woman involved is a minor or belongs to a scheduled caste or a scheduled tribe, the jail term would range from 3 to 10 years, he said. The fine would increase to ₹25,000. In the case of mass conversions, the punishment is from 3 to 10 years and a fine of ₹50,000 on organizations which indulge in it, he said, adding that if anyone wants to change their religion after marriage, they can do so. But the district magistrate has to be informed 2 months in advance in a prescribed form, and the person can convert once permission is granted. Singh claimed that this will resolve law and order problems. Adityanath had earlier asked officials to formulate a strategy and bring in the ordinance to prevent religious conversions in the name of love. The state Bharatiya Janata Party government had declared it would bring a tough law to tackle what right-wing outfits call love jihad. Some saffron groups and BJP leaders have used the term love jihad to target interfaith marriages, accusing Muslim men of engaging in a mass conspiracy to turn Hindu women away from their religion by seducing them. The party has termed it a serious problem and backed the decision of its state governments to enact laws against it. BJP-ruled states like Uttar Pradesh and Haryana have expressed their intention to bring a law against love jihad. Opposition parties have dismissed this as an attempt by the BJP to divide the society and said any such law will be violative of the constitution. Nivar is expected to intensify into a very severe cyclonic storm and cross Tamil Nadu and Puducherry coast between Karaikal and Mamallapuram late in the evening of November 25, India Meteorological Department Director General Mrityunjay Mohapatra said on Tuesday. Tamil Nadu has declared a public holiday on Wednesday, while Puducherry has imposed Section 144 for 3 days. Nearly 1,200 National Disaster Response Force rescue personnel have been deployed in Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh and Puducherry, and 800 others are on standby. NDRF Chief S.N. Pradhan said they are prepared for a high level of intensity and the worst form of the cyclonic storm as it surges from the Bay of Bengal towards the southern coastline. The weather department had initially predicted that Cyclone Nivar was likely to intensify into a severe cyclonic storm, but has now estimated that it will intensify further. Nivar is the second cyclone in the Bay of Bengal this year. In May, Cyclone Amphan had developed into a super cyclonic storm. Our forecast is it will intensify into a very severe cyclonic storm by Tuesday. It is very likely to cross Tamil Nadu and Puducherry coast between Karaikal and Mamallapuram around Puducherry during 25th November late evening as a very severe cyclonic storm with a wind speed of 120 to 130 km per hour, gusting to 145 km per hour, Mohapatra said. Besides strong winds, the cyclone is also expected to bring heavy rains. The IMD has issued red alert for coastal and north interior Tamil Nadu, Puducherry and Karaikal for November 25, said Mohapatra. The central government on Tuesday blocked 43 mobile applications, mostly those with Chinese links, for engaging in activities prejudicial to India's sovereignty, integrity, defence, security and public order. The decision was taken by the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology under Section 69A of the Information Technology Act. The ministry issued the order to blocking access to these apps by users in India based on reports received from Indian Cybercrime Coordination Centre under the Ministry of Home Affairs. The apps banned include Alibaba Group Holding Limited's e-commerce app AliExpress. In a new wave of web sanctions targeted at China, with whom India has engaged in a months-long standoff at Eastern Ladakh. The 43 mostly Chinese-origin apps also include a few dating apps. The Indian government on September 2 had banned 118 apps on national security concerns, including the immensely popular PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or PUBG Mobile, Baidu, and a couple of virtual private networks that allowed access to TikTok that was banned earlier. Other popular banned apps were Baidu Express Edition, ShareSave by Xiaomi, WeChat Work, Tencent Wayun, Tencent Watchlist, Alipay, GoSMS Pro, ZugZug Pro and Live, Smart App Lock, and Ludo World, Ludo Superstar, among others. In July, the government barred 47 Chinese apps from operating in the country, which were largely clones of the 59 apps that were banned in June. Those banned in June included TikTok, WeChat, UC Browser, and Xiaomi's Mi Community. Other Chinese apps in the banned list were Club Factory, ShareIt, Likee, Mi Video Call, Weibo, Baidu, BigoLive, and more. The moves, which Union Minister of Technology Ravi Shankar Prasad earlier described as a digital strike, came after 20 Indian soldiers were killed in a skirmish with Chinese troops in Galwan Valley in June. The US federal government recognized President-elect Joe Biden as the apparent winner of the November 3 election, formally starting the transition of power after President Donald Trump spent weeks testing the boundaries of American democracy. Trump relented after suffering yet more legal and procedural defeats in a seemingly futile effort to overturn the election with baseless claims of fraud. Trump still refused to concede and vowed to continue to fight in court after General Services Administrator Emily Murphy gave the green light on Monday for Biden to coordinate with federal agencies ahead of his January 20 inauguration. But Trump did tweet that he was directing his team to cooperate on the transition. The fast-moving series of events seemed to let much of the air out of Trump's frantic efforts to undermine the will of the people in what has amounted to a weeks-long stress test for the nation's confidence in the political system and the fairness of US elections. Those efforts haven't ended and are likely to persist well beyond his lame duck presidency. Murphy, explaining her decision, cited recent developments involving legal challenges and certifications of election results. She acted after Michigan on Monday certified Biden's victory in the battleground state, and a federal judge in Pennsylvania tossed a Trump campaign lawsuit on Saturday, seeking to prevent certification in that state. Pennsylvania certified its results and its 20 electors for Biden on Tuesday morning. It also came as an increasing number of Republicans were publicly acknowledging Biden's victory after weeks of tolerating Trump's baseless claims of fraud. The Republican president had grown increasingly frustrated with the flailing tactics of his legal team. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.